Today's episode is sponsored by the Digital Video Program at the University of Advancing Technology. They're the guys that shot our Nerdtacular videos 3 years running. Pretty neat private college with all sorts of tech degrees. Go check them out. UAT.edu. That's UAT.edu. Coming up on TMS, Ronald has been holding back in his homeland.
The four-word Trek story contest starts now.
17 hours is a long time.
Backwards feet are not a problem.
Seventh heaven becomes seventh hell.
Ooh, ain't that the truth. Jenla says she's ticked about them photos.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
As Halloween approaches, you have to prepare yourself for what might happen.
More orange sprinkles.
It's a special time of year, and Dunkin' Donuts is dressing up their donuts for the occasion.
And here's the werewolf.
So come to Dunkin' Donuts and get into the spirit of Halloween.
We'd like some Halloween donuts, please.
Oh, of course.
All that I need to have.
Come on and scream.
At standing desks. This is The Morning Stream.
I'm actually sitting at mine, but hello everybody and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is TMS for Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson, that's Brian Ibbett.
Why, hello.
Good morning. That poor guy. Hitting the carpet like that.
You know what we need to do is combine that with the, oh.
Or a thousand other stupid clips. At some point, I need to just hand those clips over to some smart editor guy. Ice, warm, relax. You do plenty. Don't worry about it. I'm not giving these to you. But somebody who wants to like just sit down and make a big mashy up thing that somehow makes sense. And that isn't just all about balls the entire time. I think that'd be great. That'd be awesome. Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. It's me and it's Brian and we're doing it. We got the mandate. We understand that you desire this. So we're here to do it. And, it's a show. We're going to do a show.
Nice.
Congratulations yesterday on your, acquisition of a new microphone. You sound fantastic.
Oh, yeah,
this
is it. This is the new Heil. This is the microphone that, Tom uses. It's the microphone that you use.
Yeah. I love
and,
it.
I'm really happy with it so far. I love the point microphones like this one, you know,
you mean the like sound a goes directional into, thing.
Exactly. The sound goes into the end as opposed to around the sides. Mm-hmm. With a regular microphone, you kind of talk at the logo.
Yeah.
Usually.
Which sucks.
And it's wide and it's like, all right, is this the best? Is this the sweet spot? Where's the sweet spot? And you kind mm-hmm. of have to find your way around. With this one,
yeah.
It's easy. Like you talk
do,
at the
And you do have point. To do this kind of I mean, you've done this before, so you're no stranger to it, but you've got that two or three days of sort of adjusting and tweaking mm-hmm. and figuring it out, but it'll come easy with this one. My experience with it was I was done in, you know, like a day I figured it out. Or right, I got all the settings the way I wanted to, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I kept the stuff on the mixer the same, but I might, who knows? I mean, I'm listening to the sound of my voice right now. I might beef up a little bit of the treble or mm-hmm. or something. I don't know.
He's all about that bass. Hey, and you know what else you can do? You can just rest easy that there is no such thing for you now as phantom power for this thing. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
No way, really?
Yeah, I hate it. You know, you can turn that phantom power off.
Off Victor Pavantopar.
No longer needed. In fact, it was nice for me because in my case, it created some line noise to have that on anyway that I had to compensate for. So I killed the phantom power and that was it. It's not phantom required. Doesn't need it. Does not require it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll play around with that. I didn't know that I had that.
Yeah, cool. And it doesn't have to warm up or any of that BS. Like, man, no. It's like living in the future is what it is.
You had a microphone that had to warm up.
Yeah, it was the last one I had. The last Phantom powered one I used was, they were okay. They're like $100 mic. I don't even remember what the brand was. Nady something brand. And it was fine. The sound was good and whatever. They served me for a while, but every time I turned it on, it took a while for it to, I had to turn it on and let the mic sort of start working. It took about 15 seconds.
Really?
Yeah,
I've never heard of that. Wow.
Annoying. Anyway, hey.
Yeah, it would be.
Yesterday, I gave you a quiz. Today?
You did. Tubers and droops and berries and all that. Berries.
Berries. That's right. Was it droop? D-R-U-P-s? E's? Uh-huh. Yeah. That was it. So
palms, poems.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to talk about a thing that is definitely not fruit or a vegetable.
Probably not even food.
Yeah, barely food. These are highly manufactured things, but these are, I always like these lists because these are fun. These are 25.
I can look at this one, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Good.
25 McDonald's items that you cannot get here in these states united. Okay. Mm.
Okay. Oh, I bet I can predict one of them.
You got to go somewhere else. Oh, give me one. Well, I predict it. What do you
say? In Australia, mm-hmm. They put beetroot on everything, right? So you can have your burgers come with beets, like a slice of pickled beets.
Ooh, that sounds...
Oh, it's fantastic.
That actually sounds all right, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a big beet fan, but that sounds good in that combination.
Mm-hmm. They call it beetroot.
That's nice. So, all right, we'll see if that one's on here. Number one, bubblegum squash McFlurry.
Bubblegum, good. Yeah. McFlurry, good. Squash?
Well, they say this. It says below this one, don't freak out. There is no actual squash in this. Oh. It's blue bubblegum syrup and cute marshmallows mixed into the standard soft cone serve.
Okay, well then that's nice. Oh, that's also in Australia.
Mm-hmm. There's an Australian one. Here's a Mexican one. Okay. The Kono Oreo.
Nice. It's nice. It's good of the person who took this picture to... you know, lick it into the Matterhorn, an accurate model of Disney's Matterhorn before they take a picture. That's lovely.
It totally does look like the Matterhorn. Weird. It was familiar, but I couldn't put my finger on why, and you just did it. Anyway, yeah, it's basically an Oreo ice cream cone that comes with an Oreo
nice.
Cookie cone, and then I assume the white goo is actual ice cream or whatever they pass for that.
It's vanilla, sure. I mean, the stuff inside... an Oreo is basically vanilla-esque.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have to change the ice cream at all. Just have it's really just a chocolate cone, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the point of that one, I guess. Right. All right. How about this one? The McPaneer. This comes to you in India.
It would have to. Paneer, sure.
Now, what is paneer? You educate me. What is paneer? Paneer.
I really don't know. I've heard of paneer. Mm. I've never actually ordered it.
Well, this says, this is India's many vegetarian options. The McSpicy paneer, they literally put McSpicy on there.
Right.
Is a burger consisting of soft, crispy coated paneer cheese, lettuce, and a tandoori mayonnaise. So I think it's the cheese.
Soft, crispy coated paneer cheese. So interesting.
It must be cheese, I guess. I don't know.
Yep, that's what Tinvec says. Paneer is a cheese.
All right, great.
All right.
Isn't the rule, if you live in India, the rule is you got to have diarrhea all day long, all the time, right? Isn't that
that's
the deal?
That's the plan, yes, that's right, exactly.
I'm pretty sure.
But it's fine because you can poop right in the street.
Exactly, right in the gutter. And I've never heard of anybody who went to India who didn't end up with, like, runny butt the entire time. And then people who live there are just used to it. It's just like... Yeah, you talk to a guy and say, excuse me, sir, in the funny looking hat, when's the last time you had a solid poo? And they look at you like, we don't even know, we don't even have words for what that means. We don't know what that means. all right. Mozzarella dippers only in Britain.
Huh.
Ooh, those look good.
They do look good.
Oh, they're so bad for you, though.
Nice fingernail work, too, by the way, on that photo.
Yeah, that one needs a fix.
It's a little bit
grown
little
out not, of it,
not Ugh. Really matching up.
Yuck. Anyway,
not supposed to leave those things on for like a week.
They refer to these. Terpsters mentioned these before. They refer to them as Moz sticks. And,
of course they do. Yeah,
there is a.
They have to change the name of everything.
Yeah, I'm not actually kind of a. I, these always look better than I actually when I eat them. I don't like them as much as I think
That's
I'm going.
To. Right. In Bristol we have the Moz sticks.
Yeah. You only get some more sticks, do you?
And you get them with everything.
And you can't eat them unless you got a shitty manicure to pick them up with.
All right. you know what? This is more why this is fun. Because it's also a parade of stereotypes that we get
it
to do.
It is, exactly. We can do every stereotypical voice that comes to
our some European McDonald's sell you beer. They have the McBeer.
The McBeer.
Yeah.
Nice.
So would you trust a beer from McDonald's?
I guess as much as I would trust a beer from any place else. I mean, it's not, they're not brewing it. It's going to be, imagine it's going to be some other, yellow branded beer. I was going to say white branded, but yellow branded because of the golden arches.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure it's fine. It's probably super lame, but okay.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's like
their
coffee or something. You know, it's like, oh, it's all right.
It's MGD.
The Pizzerotto from Italy.
You can't spell rot. Yeah. You can't spell Pizzerotto without rot.
That's exactly right.
It's got a picture of Jesus branded into the side there, I think. I'm trying to make that out.
Let's see. Let me turn around this way.
Yeah, I can't make that into anything.
I think I see Grape Ape. I think he's in there. basically, it's a cheese and tomato sauce hot pocket, really, if you want the truth. And those fries don't look very good, and that's all very weird looking. It looks like Italy is the place you don't want to go to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that any of that photo is very appealing.
No, that does not look good.
In the face of so much good food, it pales in comparison. There was my stereotype of Italy. Here's your next one. They have the McPoutine. in Canada, head north of the border and get some gravy and cheese curds on top of McDonald's fries in case you're interested.
Yeah, I mean, I've had poutine before, and the cheese curds actually melt, or supposed to melt on the on the fries.
Yeah.
And you're actually supposed to be able to see the gravy. I'm sure it's like a puddle of gravy at the bottom of this thing. I'm not at all impressed with this.
No, this looks like someone yacked in their fry bag.
Right.
No offense, Canada. Sorry to tell you, but sorry.
What's that about?
Yeah, sorry. All right. The taro pie in China. Now, I had one of these when I was in China, or something like this, at a McDonald's there. And I'll tell you, man, that place saved me. I can make fun of McDonald's all day. But at the end of the day, in that part of China, in Shenzhen, that McDonald's was quite literally my lifeline to America. And it saved me. Because the food I'd had up to then and after that was awful all the time. And this place just made the best Big Mac. It was the best meal of my whole trip.
Nice.
It was so good. It's basically a hot apple pie like we do here, but with purpley taro root. So it's taro root or taro. How do you say it? Taro root? Whatever it is.
Taro root, yeah.
Looks all right.
Mm-hmm.
Could eat that. All right, here you go. The McNurnburger.
What?
The McNurnburger.
That doesn't...
Look at the bag.
Nurnburger. Isn't that where the trials were at McNurnburger? Like the McNurnburger trials?
Nurnburger trials, yeah. I think you're right. Right?
Hangings? You see those photos of the hangings at the Nurnburger trials?
Right, all those Nazi guys. Nazi SS guys. And we'll have a sausage burger when we're done, yeah? Three bratwursts, mustard, and onions from the German version of the Big Mac. It's basically, that's their Big Mac. My favorite part of the top is the top part, which I don't know what this means, but there's McDonald's arches, trademark, and then below that, Hutengadi.
Hot and goody.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, you know, we were talking about, we had some German wine last night, and it was like, what was it? It was Mein Frau Lichen or something like Lichfrau mine or something like that, which translated to milk from a friendly woman.
Oh, wow. That's not
milk from a good woman or something like that.
not interested in that. Ooh. Yeah. And by the way, there is a term for, so I didn't know this in my mother's generation.
Yeah.
This was told to me second, third hand or something. But in my mother's generation, it was not uncommon for women before they would breastfeed their child to test the fountain, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they would taste test their own breast milk.
Now, okay, sure.
That seems really crazy to me.
It does, yeah. Not something.
I'm no woman, I'm no mother.
Liebfrau Milch. That's exactly it. Thank you, by the way.
Deepfrau Milch?
Liebfrau Milch.
Liebfrau Milch.
Which translates to...
Awful thing you ever heard.
Nope, from a friendly woman. Sorry, okay, please continue.
We'll never have solid poo. All right, McPrawn. Here's the McPrawn. This is in Russia, okay?
Okay.
If you enjoy eating seafood procured by massive food conglomerates, fried shrimp cocktail can be found at Mickey D's in Eastern Europe. I have heard of this. It's basically fried... It's just big fried shrimp.
Yeah, it just looks like... Yeah, exactly. I mean... You know, you get your Long John Silvers in my McDonald's, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right. Also, in Japan, you can get the bacon potato pie. That sounds great.
Actually, that does. Wow, so that's another Hot Pocket one.
Yep, it's all in English on that packet, which is funny. Must be for tourists.
Caution, hot!
Yeah, They make, you know, curly fries are not uncommon here in the States, but McDonald's does not do those.
No, you got to go to your Arby's to get those.
In the Phillip Pines, I believe that's pronounced.
Uh-huh.
You can get Twister fries, which are basically curly fries. So there's those. Philippines, for those who think I'm serious. and the Kiwi burger down there to New Zealand, we got Kiwi burger.
Is that made from kiwi?
Hey, Brit. No. what is in there? That looks like it's got a beet like your other one too, doesn't it?
A beetroot. Yeah, it does look like it.
It says right there, beetroot. Yeah.
Yep.
Look at that thing.
So a beef patty, a fried egg, beetroot, tomato, lettuce, cheese, onions, mustard, and ketchup on a toasted bun. I would love that.
I think I'm in. New Zealand.
I like the eggs on burgers trend.
There's fly down to Christchurch and buy us two.
There's a place over here by us called Rockabilly's. It's a bar.
Yeah.
But they do really, really good food there. So it's kind of like a restaurant during the day. And then at night, sometimes they have bands come in. They actually have Rockabilly bands come in. But they've got I don't know if they call it the breakfast burger, but it's a burger with a fried egg, hash browns, bacon.
That sounds great.
It's so good. Can't do more than one of those a month, but damn, it's so good.
Yeah, that sounds like a place right here near me called The Break, which is has amazing pub food and is a bar.
Mm.
McFlurry Cranky in Mexico. That's chocolate-covered frosted flakes for some reason on your ice cream.
McFlurry Cranky.
Yep. The McArabia, the Middle Eastern version of the thing. It's a chicken and flatbread pita deal. You can only get in the Middle East. That actually sounds really good.
It does sound good, yep.
BLT bagel in Canada. Sorry about that. The Shaka chicken in Japan.
Shaka chicken.
Yeah, Shaka Khan.
Everybody Shaka chicken.
The chicken McMuffin. They do a morning McMuffin with chicken in it in China, which is cool. Let's see. The Philippines have fried chicken with spaghetti. That's weird.
That is weird. That's a weird combo. But sure enough, right there in the same container.
In France, they've got the La Salle de Pétis mozzarella. It's mozzarella pasta salad.
It's a bummer they didn't open that lid because I would have liked to have seen what's actually inside that one.
Yeah, thanks for the plastic package shot. That's stupid.
Same with the pineapple stick.
Yep. I'm going to skip down here to the final one, which is the block of Parmesan cheese. Get it in Italy. It's called the Snack al Parmigiano, where you can get information on nutrition as al. nutritional information.
So the deal under this one, he says that they couldn't find a picture of this actually at McDonald's, but according to the website for McDonald's Italy, you can buy a block of Parmigiano Reggiano cheese there as a snack.
Wow. No wonder Italians have hairy armpits. I don't know what that means. I made that part up. All right. Hey, that's it for that. Hope you enjoyed that. And all of the Indians were offended that I think they all have constant diarrhea. I apologize. But that's been my experience with everyone I've ever talked to. None of them have ever been contrary to what I just said. So unless you have some hard evidence that somebody somewhere in India takes a normal poo, I'll believe it when you tell me. All right, let's call Daryl.
Before we do that,
yeah.
Can I throw out a quick tease for something kind of cool?
Absolutely.
All right, so Andrew Allen, the great Andrew Allen, has recorded another EP. This is all Pokemon music, and it is going to be made available at Coverville Records on Friday. So nice. Stick around for that. We might play a clip of something on tomorrow's show, a little bit of Pokemon music from Andrew Allen, and look for that on Friday.
So you got to catch them all. Catch all those tracks. Right.
Catch all the tracks on the EP.
Lovely. All right. Daryl time, which begins with this. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
Lantern Forge. Now only $7.99 on Steam this week. Lantern Forge is an indie-developed sandbox survival and adventure RPG. Check it out on Steam today. It's called Lantern Forge.
Oh, that's great. You should have done your Echo deal.
I could have. Yeah. Oh, well. Try that out with the new microphone. Sorry. It all works fine.
Get a pay.
Hey, it's dark in here.
You get a pay.
Jill! Jill! I hope this isn't Chris's blood.
Barry!
I wish I had a way to echo. I'd do Barry or Jill over here.
Barry.
I'd do that. Hey, you know what I'll say? I'll say, that's what our... Barry, I don't know where you went. Okay, give me an improv line. Go.
I hope this... I hope this bag of lunch is edible. Jill?
You do a really good Barry. I mean, listen, guys.
Jill!
That's pretty much what he was doing.
Jill!
See? It's just, it's uncanny. All right. Speaking of uncanny, a perfect rendition of Daryl's voice is on the line with us now. Daryl Skeels, hello, and are you there?
Sounds just
hello.
Like
him.
Hello. 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 That was a very jovial hello. It must be having a very good morning, I assume. Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to say it like, what's his name? Not Jill, yeah. The other guy. Barry, yes.
All right, so I got some fun for us here. Here's the deal. Ooh, wow, that's freaky. Wesker, you're Wesker. I have this plan, or I had this idea yesterday that some people would send us four words, and that each of us would have to come up with a quick improv episode synopsis of a Star Trek episode using those four words. So somehow our story summation includes these words. Now, I have not even looked at these other than pasting it in here since I got it, because I wanted it to be fresh for all of us. Of course, Brian and I can see them. You can't see yours, but I'll whip through these and I'll tell you what yours are in a second. So my four words given to me were chase or chaise, like chaise lounge. Dodecahedron. How do you say that?
Dodecahedron.
Dodecahedron. Adhesive and uvula. Okay. So here's my story.
Okay.
There's an alternate universe. They're trapped in an alternate timeline where the Enterprise is a big sex ship. Everyone's just having sex all the time. There's just a big dumb sex thing going on all the time. Uh-huh. And the captain doesn't have a chair. He has a chair that he sits in. Okay. So it's, you know, the weird looking French chair thing. And they are flying around and they run into a giant space entity in the shape of just a big geometric shape. It looks like a dodecahedron. Mm-hmm. And it's well out done. There in space, and it's real mysterious, and it just says things like, "We will take your ship now," and Kirk doesn't know what to do because they've been so lazy and just laying around having sex all the time. They don't know what to do because they're not battle ready, right? They're just kind of out of it.
I think this is an actual episode.
This may be true. It sounds like one of those naked time ones. And then the Lieutenant Uvula, who in this timeline plays the role of Uhura, but she has a slightly different name. They named her Uvula. She has an idea, and that is there is a huge cargo bay full of barrels, just chock full of adhesive, like glue. And they're supposed to be taking that glue to Rigel 10 or something because they're out of glue over there. So they're bringing all this glue, but they think, you know what, in a pinch, we can shoot all this glue out of that cargo bay at high velocity and hit this giant geometric shape mystery alien right in the puss with all this adhesive, and it gums it up, and they're able to escape. There's my episode. All right.
Wow, very good,
Brian. Your words are castanet.
There you go.
Idiom.
Uh-huh.
Gargoyle.
Okay.
And hamburger. Go.
All right. So I'm going Next Generation on this one.
All right.
We come in on the Starship Enterprise, and Data is learning to belly dance. He's heard about belly dancing, and he's decided he wants to learn how to belly dance. So he's in a holodeck, wearing the traditional belly dancing uniform, Brett Spiner there in his exposed midriff.
Okay.
And he's playing with castanets, of course, as you do. Well, red alert, all hands to the bridge.
Right.
So he heads over to the bridge, and sure enough, they've encountered an alien species that has these big wings and is really ugly and kind of usually see these sitting on buildings. And sure enough, it looks like a gargoyle.
Okay.
So they yell over at Worf to fire. He fires, blows up the gargoyle. Oh, that was really quick, kind of a quick episode. And then they all head back over to 10 forward, where they all enjoy a hamburger. And someone makes the comment to Data that, that gargoyle is like the straw that broke the camel's back. And he says, "Well, I don't understand. How could a straw break a camel's back?" And Geordi says, "That's an idiom, Data." And the credits roll.
And then
roll.
They all laugh, freeze frame, and then the credits roll.
That's right. It's Ronald D. Moore.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love that. Okay, see, now there's two. Daryl, your words are diagnostic, contract, whips, and egg.
Diagnostic.
Contract.
Contract.
Whips, like you've got, you're whipping a dude. Whips, wow. In the plural, and egg.
It's too early for this.
It feels like it, right?
Start
putting it in Skype in case you need it.
Says E. Kardashinsky.
Yeah, basically. I love this. I love games like this, though. It's one of my favorite things.
You could do it as like a badger telling a story. So they're on the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, it's basically badger. It is. Skinny Pete and Badger telling stories. That's what this is.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, man. They're firing into space and they're not hitting anything.
Wait a minute.
Sorry, go ahead. I was going to play the part of Skinny Pete, but this is your improv. Go.
Oh, I think I like yours better.
No. I'm dying to know how you're going to put whips in here.
I don't know. And I'm at work, so I have to be very serious.
Right. You can't be too animated with this one.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Neelix was making breakfast for everyone.
All right.
Because he had a contract to do so. Okay. So he has no choice.
Okay. Check.
Okay.
So he he got out his eggs and his whips, and he whipped his eggs and fed them into a diagnostic scanner, which then malfunctioned and blew up, and I don't know why he did that at the end.
This is the worst episode ever. Wow.
Somehow this is still better than an episode with Alexander or a Ferengi holodeck.
Good point. Yeah. Brian makes a point. All right. Well, that was fun, and I forgot
mine was dumb. I know it.
Well, you didn't have any preparation. You got those four words sprung. I've been looking at these I looked at these while Scott was doing his story, so I had a chance to.
Really? Yes. What we should do in the future is we should pass these words to each other ahead of time, probably. But there's something to be said for the last second.
Not that far ahead of time.
Well, I mean just like, you know, right before we start the show or something.
Yes, right. Or I was thinking like right before we start the segment.
Yeah. And we're not going to do these every day or anything weird like that. But I enjoy this. Yeah. I just enjoy this idea. I don't know what it is about it. I'll tell you who sent this to us. This is from, it's from Carrie, duh. From Cleo.
Cleo. Oh, thank you, Cleo.
I don't know why it didn't click with me that those, who were those from. Anyway, thank you, Cleo. Forgot I put those in for you. All right. Today is, speaking of improv, is one of those questions where we act out the scene and then you guess what episode it's from.
Oh, wow. There's even more Star Trek improv here.
Yep. So it's me and Brian. I'm going to play the part of Crusher and you're going to play the part. This is, I assume, Old Lady Crusher, not... it can't be Wesley, right?
Yeah, right. I'm sure it's Dr. Crusher.
And you're going to do
Beverly.
Yeah, and you're going to do Riker. Okay?
I'm going to be Riker.
So,
who I do is kind of a Lando Calrissian smooth little space pirate.
What do we have here?
All right.
Got to get to that Death Star. Yeah. All right. So ready, set, go.
I was trying to feed Spot.
Data's cat!
I told him I'd feed him while he was gone. I was just putting down the bowl of food. The next thing I know, there's a hissing ball of fur coming at my face. I hate cats.
I love cats! You know? You've just got to know how to handle them!
All right, was that A?
End scene.
End scene. Very good. A, parallels. B, schisms. C, genesis. D, timescape.
Wow.
Our vocalizations aren't helping you, I don't think. I don't think that contributed to any sort of positive motion on the answer, but we did our best.
I remember what it was. It was. Oh, I can't say yet. We need to do the next thing.
Oh, birthday. Birthday. Yeah. Food. Okay, here's the deal. All right, so I'm not doing any food testing because I didn't get the thing you guys got, but you guys are going to take out of that envelope what you may, and I'm going to play this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Why don't you test something from that guy? Who sent it? The lady or man?
This came from Kurt Ochberger or Ashberger.
Ashberger?
Ochberger? I'm going to say it's Ochberger. It's A-C-H Berger.
You only get those in Germany. That's great.
Just opening the Ziploc bag that contains all these things too.
I do not know. What's his name? First name again? Kurt. Kurt. Yes, I do not know. That's a very German name. Kurt Ochberger. Kurt. That's very German.
Oh, the smell. When I just open this bag.
Oh, the smell. Brian's bag smells funny.
Dude, I'm a little nervous about some of this stuff.
I did not get your envelope for some reason. So, that doesn't mean anything necessarily. There have been times where I've gotten it a week after these guys for who knows why. But I'll keep my eyes open. But in the meantime, what kind of weirdness is in
there? How about a sesame lollipop? Want to do one of those?
Yeah, do that. Daryl, you got that?
Sesame lollipop. That must be this thing that looks like a lollipop with sesame seeds in it.
That would probably be it.
That'd be my argument.
Okay. Let's see. I gotta open this. That's the challenge.
Wow, our four words thing burned a lot of daylight. I didn't realize. I'm just looking at the time, like, oh wow. If we do that on the regular, that's gonna eat up a bunch of time. Anyway, sorry. All right, eat your lollies,
dude. I don't know how I'm gonna get this thing open. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that too.
All right, don't have time. We ain't got time for no.
I'm gonna do this. Damn it!
Ain't got time for this. Ain't got time for this. What's that from? Ain't got time for this. Ain't got time for that. Is that a song?
No, not that I know of.
Ain't got time for that. There's something there.
Oh, it's all it. The top came off.
Oh God, really?
Hold up, hold the phone.
And it's all sticky.
Oh God, I can't get this plastic off. My God, it's like it's hermetically sealed or something. Okay, there we go. I think I got enough of this. Jeez.
Oh yeah, this is a monster. Scott, you dodged the bullet, I think.
Did I? All right.
Yeah.
I feel good about that. I'm trying to find that Drake moment. Here, check it out. Here you go while you guys are...
Hold my phone.
That's not real Drake doing that. Where is this
That's
thing?
Fake Drake.
Now, here's Drake.
I don't even know.
There's a lot more work to do.
You know what? Remember back when videos only occasionally tried to be an entire story with just a little music in the middle? Yeah. Now they're all doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to knock it off.
Like the Michael Jackson bad kind of thing evolving into. Yeah.
Yes. I don't need that. Also, I don't need a bunch of other sound effects during your video.
I honestly can't tell if here's a problem with these sesame lollipops is they're so shiny that even after you pull the plastic off, you're not sure you got all the plastic. This still looks like it could have plastic on it. And
awesome.
Who knows?
Awesome. That's what I want.
I taste sugar when I lick it, so.
Yeah.
Ice warm, there you go.
There you go, freebie.
I have a freebie.
Yeah. Didn't have to do anything for that one.
Tastes like sugar and sesame seeds.
So just like you expected. Where are these from? Germany?
Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The DR, they call it. I don't know who calls it that. I just called it that. Well, fantastic.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
Oh, well,
no,
all
no,
right.
I'm not either.
Look, they just take a ball of sugar and drag it through the dirt, and there's your. That's how you live. That's what you do down there. Well, congratulations, both of you.
The sesame seeds, it does taste like something. I can't put my finger on it, but.
Mm. How about, because it's what you're describing sounds like such a familiar flavor that I cannot think of right now.
All right.
Well, you know, when you eat Chinese and you go to the restaurant, you dip your pork stuff in the sesame seeds. It just tastes like somebody took all those sesame seeds and rolled them up in a thing of sugar, and there you are.
All right.
That's right, like sesame chicken. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it then.
Without the chicken.
Yep. Well, I'm good. The chicken on a stick in the mail is not a healthy thing to do.
Okay.
All right. Daryl, you got a birthday or something, don't you, somewhere?
Let's see. Yes. Dallas Mitchell. Passed away in 2009 at age 81.
Aww.
He played Lieutenant Tom Nellis on the TOS episode Charlie X. He was one of the people that brought Charlie over from the other ship.
Oh, right. And that's not the episode with the baby Clint Howard. It's the other one.
No.
Okay.
No.
We're pretty excited on FilmSack. We're doing a small commentary episode like we do with Star Trek sometimes, and it's going to be for that Clint Howard baby one. I'm totally excited.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, awesome. That'll be a good time. All right. Well, congratulations to him. He died. May he ever reign in wherever he lives now. All right. There you go. Daryl, back to the point here. We got these four answers. It's parallel, schisms, genesis, or timescape. Which one of those did our reading come from?
I have no idea. B.
All right. Awesome. Hey, does that sound different to anybody? I'm just curious if that sounds any different than it used to be. All right, here you go then. Is it that? Is it B? No, it is not B. Turns out it is not B. It is timescape. D. Skeletor is Terek. What?
Treating.
Treating.
It just has a little extra R in there.
Okay. That R really throws you off, though. Look at it.
Wow. It really threw you off. I looked at that and said it's treating with an R in it.
Treating. A cut on Riker's forehead after Spot attacked him. Thanks again to Scott and Brian for their performances. Well, you're welcome there, buddy.
He didn't know how well we did that, so why is he thanking us?
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl is now going to play a game with us called probably a spider or a freaking Trek thing.
Yep. Star Trek spider or actual spider.
All right. Burping Hulk is your theme today. All right. Go.
Talarian hook spider.
Talarian hook spider. I think that sounds Star Trek-y to me.
The Talarian part kind of makes me think Star Trek, yeah.
Yeah, but I just want to make sure here. Talarian. Talarian, it's not like telestial, turbulent. Yeah, we're going to say, I think Star Trek, dude.
Talarian sound, yeah, I'm pretty sure that.
Tellarian.
Tellus, right? Or Tellaris or Tellar.
Tellarian. No, it's got to be Star Trek.
It's got to be Star Trek. We're saying Star Trek.
It feels so obvious. Yeah.
Even if you tell us it's not Star Trek, we're going to think you're lying. Yeah, it's definitely Star Trek.
Yeah, so is it?
It is not non-Star Trek. It is Miles O'Brien found 20 of these in a Jeffries tube.
It is not Star Trek. That's brilliant. That's what I want to hear, man. All right, news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the following. Hey, guys, my girlfriend recently entered a contest on sockittome.com for a sock design. Her hand-drawn design got picked out of 5,000 participants and is in the top 30 for a public vote. Voting ends on the 10th of October. Look for the cute prairie dog one. That's at sockittome.com. Mm.
Jason Garnett. You familiar with his work?
No.
Probably not.
Who is Jason Garnett? Why should I be? Is that a name I should? No. Is he on Sons of Anarchy?
It does sound like a guy in that show, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Apparently, Walton Goggins is on this new season. And
Boyd Crowder.
Love Boyd Crowder. Shane from The Shield. He's so good. Mm-hmm. And anyway.
And freak out guy from Predators.
Oh yeah, Predators, the multi
freak out prisoner, former prisoner.
Yeah, yeah. You're not wrong. He's also great in the Last Indian. With very Utah centric thing. Guy was in Utah the whole time. Anyway, what the hell was it? Who's in that? Anthony Hopkins. That's a great movie, by the way.
Oh, really? The Last Indian. Okay.
Very, very good. And everybody can watch it. That's not like a weird movie you can't have the kid in the room for or something. Like, that's a whole family can enjoy it on multiple levels. And it takes place mostly in the Salt Flats of Salt Lake City. Anyway.
Interesting. All
Jason right. Garnett treated for a 17-hour erection.
Oh, whoa.
Penile erection. Not he stood for that long. Just want to make that clear.
Or he was constructing a building.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no
for 17 hours.
It's not like you on a like common a work day where you're standing all day.
it's me on a common day, Scott Johnson. Don't let anybody fool you.
I see. Garnett, age 23, woke up in the morning with an erection that had refused to go down. In fact, this is all very clinical, people. We're not just trying to make big exactly. penis jokes here. Right. In fact, Garnett's penis stood at rapt attention for more than 17 hours, the North Echo newspaper is reporting. At first, he wasn't too worried about it. Went to his job at a hotel in Harrogate in the UK. This is all in the UK. Around lunchtime, he became concerned.
Yeah, well, it's a thing today. All right, off to work, off to work.
Oh, pish posh.
I guess I've got a kickstand this morning. Fine. Yeah, that's good. Yes, all right.
I just need to keep it quiet and not tell anyone, and hopefully it won't show. Then he took an ice bath. So he got around lunchtime, wouldn't go away. Then he took an ice bath, you know, like you do at lunch in Britain, I guess.
Right. You know, an ice bath. Yeah.
Yeah. It's normal. And going for a jog, that didn't fix it. He realized something was up.
Wait, is jogging supposed to?
Well, you know, get your blood flow, get you moving, get your mind off it, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
Okay. 8 hours after waking up, he told his roommate about his problem. You should have seen the look on his face when I told him what was wrong. He was in hysterics at first. Then he realized how serious the situation was. He was taken to a hospital and diagnosed with what is called priapism. Priapism.
Priapism.
Priapism.
Priapism.
Priapism.
Like priapism. Sure, I don't know.
A rare condition where erections do not subside. It will. It is not caused by sexual desire or stimulation, but untreated, it can permanently damage the penis.
Damage the penis. Are you prepared to receive my...
Flaccid. What did he say? Hold on.
My limp, penis.
Hold on, here he is.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
All right, now what you didn't hear just now was your connection made you repeat that like weird in a weird way for a second.
Yeah.
I'm going to play that later and you're going to love it.
Okay. All right. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. Ice Worm, you find that for me. Lock that in because I'm too lazy.
Kind of like that weird thing that happened before with
yes,
my laugh.
Same exact thing. Yeah. Okay. Same exact thing, except this time it went penis. Like
no way, really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't wait. Anyway, doctors had... Oh, this part. Okay, are you ready for this part? I don't know if you're ready for this.
All right, I'm gripping the table.
Doctors right had to drain 2 pints of blood from his penis to reduce the pressure on his organ. When that didn't work, they were forced to inject him with 24 rounds of medication before things settled down. Seeing them stab my penis. is. This all makes me very, I have to say it weird because it hurts if I don't. With a needle was a horrible experience, like something out of a horror film, he told the Sun. The pain was 10 out of 10.
Oh, jeez.
10 out of 10. That's maximum pain.
Yeah, it is.
All right. On to other bodily problems. A Chinese waitress, Wang Fang, that's her name. Just because the last article was about a guy's problem. She will not let her backwards feet stop her, she says.
Oh, okay.
A woman in Chongqing, China.
She will not let her backwards feet take her in the wrong direction.
Has vowed to move forward with her life despite being born with backwards feet. Jeez, HuffPo.
Oh, crazy on the photo.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
She was born with a rare disorder.
That second photo, but all right.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. Wang Fang was born with a rare disorder that causes her feet to face backwards. Doctors initially felt her condition would prevent her from walking. But she didn't take that diagnosis laying down. I could run faster than most of my friends, and I have a regular job as a waitress in the family restaurant, and there is no reason to class me as disabled, she says. I can walk as well as anyone else and even run faster than them. I'm like everyone else, except, of course, I put my shoes on backwards. She's like that dude. She's like, what's his name in Best in Show with the two left feet? It's kind of like that. Nothing kept, that didn't keep him down either.
Yes. Eugene Levy, I think
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, Eugene Levy, that's right. Feet?
Yes.
Doesn't it seem like the stranger, the more people you have, the more potential gene pool issues you have in a country because you're so packed, so densely packed with people, the more often you see these strange things. It seems like it's always China that has a story about somebody's backwards feet or three heads or the guy grew a tail that was 20 inches long or, you know, stuff like that. Doesn't that seem to happen in China a lot more than other places?
You hear about it. Is it just because of the population there? And
I don't know. That's just, what I think.
You know, that stuff will come up more frequently because there's so many people.
Well, you got a billion people and
you got a bigger pool to pull from.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. HelloFresh.com is sponsoring today's show. HelloFresh.com will not give you 2 feet that are backwards. Go check them out today. Their chefs create amazing meals, and then you just pick what you want, and they send those ingredients to you. The only work you do is that, like, 30 minutes or so to make the meal and look like a damn hero.
It's easy. It's easy. Right. You look like, if you don't tell anybody you're doing this, like you're having a date come over and you're like, oh, I'll make you dinner.
Yeah.
Don't tell her you're doing the HelloFresh and you will impress the hell out of her.
Oh, she won't even know what to do.
I just threw together this yogurt encrusted vanilla walnut sea bass.
Yeah.
That's not something that they offer. That's just something I came up with.
Nice one. That sounds good though.
You think?
Yeah. That was all right. What was it? Monkey encrusted sea bass? What was the first part?
Yellow vanilla walnut something encrusted sea bass.
Oh. Well,
they have mustard crusted chicken with roasted fall vegetables or roasted salmon with warm lentil and spinach salad.
Mm.
Two of the current ones. Another one?
Mm.
All right, because you asked for it. Mm. Pork tacos with nectarine salsa.
Oh my gosh. You're killing me.
And the fourth one, if that wasn't enough, how about steak tagliata with roasted tomatoes and potatoes?
How about?
That's their classic box right now. You can get that right now delivered to you and make it for you and your family.
That's right. And half off if you do it for the first time. Go over there and use the code MORNINGSTREAM, and that's 50% off for you first-time customers. Do it today at HelloFresh.com. We recommend it.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It is Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
Are you wondering where Cyclops went?
Yes.
He migrated like a mob boss goose to a new website. Check out the webcomic at cclopscomics.com. The Viking Cyclops faces off against the undead ruler Necropolis. There's a new comic every Sunday at cclopscomics.com. That's S-E-A. Clops, C-L-O-P-S, comics.com.
The clip clop. Fallout continues for the Seventh Heaven star, Stephen Collins, who we just talked about prior to this
Trek
mess.
Birthday.
That's right. Yeah. It was a Star Trek birthday, and I cannot remember what episode that was, or was it a TV thing? Oh, no, he was in motion picture.
October 1st, right. He was the one who went off with Ilea.
With V'ger,
at the end of the motion picture, yeah.
Yeah, then when they went to
the V'ger.
We
talked about
that
on October 1st, a week ago today, we talked about that.
Just brought this up. Well, this guy is embroiled in some controversy. He is the minister dad guy on Seventh Heaven. That's really his major claim to fame. A lot of people are very fond about that show. And I was talking about how it was filmed here and all this other stuff. Well... fans are seeing him in a new light. TMZ obtained a very sad and shocking audio tape featuring Colin and Jade 67 now discussing three instances of, at the very least, child abuse in the way of exposure, but also in some cases molestation. It's kind of nasty. It's part of a nasty divorce really he's been going through with actress Faye Grant. After 27 years of marriage, she is devastated, she said on this tape. I heard part of it and I couldn't listen to the whole thing. It was rough. Mm-hmm. He was talking to, Collins is heard talking to Grant and to a therapist about exposing himself to underage girls. One was 11 when he started, and Collins was, says it continued when she was 12 and 13. The particular girl is thought to be a relative to his first wife, Marjorie Weinman. I don't even want to read this part. Here's the thing, man. Yeah, 67. There's probably, I don't know. It's bad. It's bad.
It is bad. It's horrendous.
It's really bad. Can I even watch Star Trek now without thinking of that guy? I mean, this is him on the tape admitting it, by the way. This isn't like somebody's alleging it. This is him, and I don't know if that means he had to step down as, I forgot the title, but he's super high up in the Screen Actors Guild thing. One of the people that run the union.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he had to step down from that, and there could be charges and all that stuff.
According to Irony Man, he also had a role in the upcoming Ted 2, and he was fired from that, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you'd think.
There was some drama this morning. I remember hearing on the news on the Today Show that they'd heard a loud pop noise from his house.
Oh, no.
And thought that, oh, gosh, you know, maybe he shot himself. But he apparently wasn't home at the time, so they don't know what that noise was.
Well, according to USA Today this morning, Stephen Collins is alive and well and enduring the harsh glare of the spotlight in the wake of Monday's things got uglier. He hasn't spoken or issued a statement. Let's see. Capital's not responsible for that. Over the course of my representation of Stephen in the divorce case, I threatened to give the tape to the media unless Stephen agreed to pay her millions of dollars.
Oh, my God. And one of the actresses died last night from Seventh Heaven.
Really?
Yes.
Good gosh.
Sarah Goldberg died at 40, the age of 40.
Well, what happened to her?
Does not say.
Huh.
Let's see here. I'm going, jumping to the article. That's crazy.
Weird.
Chicago actress who started the Jewish medical student rabbi's daughter who fell in love with the son of a Christian minister on Seventh Heaven passed away. She passed away in her sleep. Her computer still in her lap at a cabin owned by her family in Wisconsin. Possibly a heart condition, but basically, I mean, just a really sudden, like, went to sleep, fell asleep with the computer in her lap, and didn't wake up.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Even TVGN, who runs Seventh Heaven reruns all the time, has pulled the show from their schedule.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah.
So they asked the wife, the lady who played his wife on the show, Catherine Hicks. She was asked by a videographer about the news. She said, "I have nothing to say, nothing to hide. Steven's a good guy, in my opinion." That's the only thing anyone close to him has said at all. Kyle Sears, who had a small role in the show, recalls nothing weird on the set. He says it was definitely a father figure to everyone there. I don't know, dude. But him admitting that on tape, that's not the same as somebody making accusations. So, he's in trouble.
Right. She was the woman in, Catherine Hicks was the woman in Star Trek IV, marine biologist that wants to go back and get the whales.
Oh, I didn't know that was her.
She was the one. She was the one they went back and interacted with to get the whales. Yeah.
She drove me crazy. On that.
You didn't like that.
I did not like her at all. I didn't like the whole movie. The whole movie sucked. Mm-hmm. wow, weird. I don't know how this turns out. But isn't the therapist under some kind of consternation? Aren't they supposed to by law? I know there's patient confidentiality stuff, but I'm pretty sure you have to. If it's a law thing, if someone's breaking the law and you're aware of it. I think you have to turn them in.
I don't know what the guidelines are for that. Like how, you know, what determines what they can disclose and what they can't disclose. Because I imagine, you know, if it's something like, oh, I ran a red light or I drank and drove the other night, then they might not report it. But if I ran, I did a hit and run and killed somebody.
Yeah, I think they have to. Or if they say, I'm a serial killer and I killed my third victim last night and I really need to talk to you about it.
great question for Wendy tomorrow. We should ask her, like, what...
We should totally ask her that. Yep.
Yeah, what the line is.
If only I was related to somebody who was a professional therapist. If only that.
Right. If only we knew someone who we could ask about this.
Also, Jennifer Lawrence has broken her silence on her nude photo leak. She's pretty pissed about it. And you know what? I totally agree with her. Here's what she had to say. Mm-hmm. You ready for this?
Yeah.
She says, this is not a scandal. It's a sex crime, she told Vanity Fair. Just the fact that somebody can be sexually exploited and violated, and this first thought that crosses anyone's mind is to make a profit from it. It's so beyond me. I just can't imagine being so detached from humanity. I can't imagine being that thoughtless and careless and so empty inside. She also has had choice words for those who have viewed and distributed these photos. Anybody who looked at these photos or looked at these pictures, you're perpetuating a sexual offense. You should cower in shame, she said. Even people I know and love say, oh yeah, I looked at the pictures. I don't want to get mad, but at the same time, I'm thinking, I didn't tell you that you could look at my naked body. No uncertain terms here. She is like letting it fly. So careful, you guys. She has a bow, too.
In a Vanity Fair article where the beginning of the article has a...
A topless photo of her.
A topless photo of her.
Yeah, which is a little
she's
weird.
She's covered up. I mean, she's, you know, but it's, I think it's done kind of.
Yeah, I don't mean it as a, I'm not saying that that's the contradictory. This is her giving permission to do such a thing.
Exactly.
There's a
exactly.
huge difference, and that's what I think people forget. Let's say Jennifer Lawrence's next five movies feature her in full frontal nudity. Fine. That was her decision, her consensual her choice. Exactly. choice to do it. This other thing was not her choice. And that's the difference. And I think people forget that that's the point.
And I agree. It's like if someone were to use a high-powered lens and you know, photograph her from an adjacent building through the blinds and then sell those naked photos of her online, that would be the same kind of crime as the person who's perpetuating these other
Absolutely.
Leaked photos.
It would totally be.
So
it's weird. It's a weird cultural disconnect we have with the how these were obtained versus how they could have been obtained.
Right.
And I don't know why we suck at this so bad as a society, but whatever. She's right.
Horrendous.
I did hear, by the way, there's a lot of talk about how this particular mess was overall handled better than, say, when Scarlett Johansson's leak happened a few years ago, where everybody was spreading them everywhere and they were on every website. Mm-hmm. Nobody was doing takedown notices. Since this time, it was a lot more. People were a lot more, I don't feel very good about this. And, you know, people were a little bit more freaked out.
It seemed like I heard about them getting removed even before I knew they existed, right? It was like they were dealt with that quickly. Mm-hmm. By the way, Saisri from our great raid team says that according to TMZ, Stephen Collins' wife secretly taped the therapy session.
Oh, well, that's even worse then, because that means if I'm right about my theory about the therapist, then... This is not only proof of his wrongdoing, but proof of their unwillingness to report what is a felony crime.
Right, exactly.
If and they it's, have to do that, I don't know.
Apparently, in California, it's legal to secretly tape therapy sessions in certain circumstances of extreme violence type situations. So,
I just wonder if the therapist is in trouble or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to ask. We'll ask Wendy. It's weird in Hollywood. People think they're above the law, man. Above the law.
Exactly. Thank you, Saisri.
Yeah, thanks, Appreciate it. Is that a girl?
It's a girl.
Oh, what am I saying? I knew that. She's in our raid team. I'm not thinking. Yeah. To me, they're disconnected, the raid team and the regular people.
Right, exactly. Well, and coming, you know, still fairly new to this raid team, there's a couple people whose voices I don't connect to the people I've met in person at Nerdtacular. So it's like, oh, I know that dude. I talked to him at Nerdtacular.
I do that all the time.
So
and we'll have an opportunity to bump into them again at BlizzCon and wonder if we met them
exactly.
before.
Exactly.
We're going to take a break.
You're
when we come back.
You're the one I hear every week healing me.
Oh, yeah. You've kept me alive a lot, except I'm on the floor a lot. What's going on with that? And then you have a fight. Recommendals coming up. So same with Tom's Tech Time. Yay. So stay tuned for that. We got some emails as well. Before all that, Brian's got music. What do you got for me?
Hello, boarding and slashing. Today, October 8th, is a wonderful day in the Great White North, eh? It's the opening day of the NHL season, and in celebration of that and my birthday, I would like to request a cover of the second Canadian national anthem. Not the first one that goes, our home and native land.
Not that guy.
I trust Brian has something that will mark this wonderful occasion. Save the puck, yo. Chris, C.D. Lawrence in the Tadpole when I can be there.
Nice.
All right, Chris, how about this one for you? The hockey song, of course, is the classic that You suggested by Stompin' Tom Connors, the original version by Stompin' Tom Connors. How about a punk cover of the hockey song? This one by the band DOA. They recorded this in 2009 for their Kings of Punk Hockey and Beer album. Appropriately enough, yep. It's the hockey song by DOA.
All right, here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Well, hello up there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. That tension goes out with so low. The puck goes down the ice. That goalie jumps at the playoff bump. The fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
Oh, good old hockey game. It's the best game you can name. That's the best game you can name. It's a good old hockey game.
Well, players dash and skates are fast. The home team tails behind. They grab the puck, go bursting up.
They're down across the line.
They storm the creeks like bumblebees. They're driven like a burning flame. You see them slide that puck inside. It's a 1-1 hockey game.
Oh, the good old hockey game. It's the best game you can name. And the best game you can name. It's a good old hockey game.
Let's go! It's all for that, for the chance to win that dream. And the final play to the hockey stick.
And the one gigantic scream.
The puck is in, the home team wins at the good old hockey game.
Oh, the good old hockey game. It's the best game you can name. And the best game you can name. It's the good old hockey game.
Oh,
the good old hockey game. It's the best game you can name. And the best game you can name. It's the good old hockey game. The good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
It's the Pizza Head Show.
Hey, everybody. I'm on my way to Pizza Hut to get a Goosebumps Kids Pack. Yay!
Almost there.
This isn't the right way.
Well, Scarecrow Steve says it is.
He's no Scarecrow.
Sure he is.
Uh-oh, I think I woke the neighbors.
Look, Pizza Head, you'll be perfectly safe in there.
Okay.
No! Relax, the Goosebumps guys just want you for dinner. See you in the next lifetime.
Taking a dump.
This is the Morning Stream. Shut up, baby. I know it.
We're back. We are back. That was a rousing addition to that song, and I will keep it and play it again sometime.
Good. Play it every hockey day, right?
Yeah, why not?
What's your local professional hockey team there that you've
got? We have a local sub-professional hockey team called the Grizzlies.
What's your local NHL franchise?
I wish we had one. I really do wish we had one. I would go a lot, but... We have a really nice rink, too. It's an Olympic-quality hockey rink. It's where all the Olympic hockey games happened during 2002. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why we couldn't support a team like that, other than, I guess, maybe there's not as much interest in hockey here. I don't know.
Who knows?
But I would love it. I mean, all we have is the Jazz. That's it. That's all we get.
Right.
It's the effing Jazz.
The Jazz.
Jazz, who have not been great since Stockton and Malone left.
Carmelo say, I'm done with this team. I'm out, says Carmelo.
And then John Stockton said, whatever, man, I'm done. And that's it. That's the last time we were really great. We've never been great since. All right. Let's call Nicole.
Aw.
Well, you know. I mean, look, you've got your Nuggets, your Avalanche, and your Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, all you're missing is a pro NFL team. And what are the chances of you getting a pro NFL team, do you think?
Maybe not so good.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
No?
Those are harder to come by. I mean, usually they go to cities that have already had one that have a stadium that can support it. I mean, is there a stadium out there that would support a
pro football team?
A pro football team?
No, they'd have to build something, I think.
They'd have to build something brand new. And yeah.
We have great indoor arena stuff, but we don't have any.
Sure.
We have great college. Whoa, I hear myself.
Here it goes.
Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. It's all good now. Hey, Nicole, what's going on? How you doing?
You called me.
I know I did. It's time for a show. Woo! Check it out. Yeah, it's Nicole time.
She didn't know what was going on until you play that Hooray for Hollywood music.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to throw people off. It's time for recommendals with Nicole. The way you answered it was like you thought I was just calling you out of the blue. Like, hey, right. Nicole, what's going on? How's your day?
Good.
But, you know, it's Wednesday. It's recommendals time. And, you know, time for you to come on. How are you? What's going on?
Great. I was supposed to get movies ready. Oh, crap. No.
Oh, no.
I have movies for you.
Right. Hey, is that a Heil microphone you're using?
It is.
You've got the same one. See? Look at that. Everybody uses a Heil PR40.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, David Letterman, that one on his desk, that is a Heil PR40.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, check it out next time. His new one, his latest one. I don't know about what he used to use, but.
I wish I could take credit. My husband bought it.
Oh. Well, they're good microphones. What can we say? All right. Well, Nicole comes on Wednesday. She talks about movie recommendations from streaming services and the like. And sometimes there's themes, sometimes there's not. We don't care either way because we just like having her on. So, Nicole, what do you say? What do you got?
Well, I try to always have a theme for you. Mm. And I think I found a theme. I was going down a path of like animals, but then I was like, something cool happened this week and I need to address it. I don't know about you guys, but I am a big, big fan of Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm. The YouTube video that was put up this week announced that Twin Peaks is indeed coming back in 2016 mm-hmm. on Showtime.
Yep. Are you excited? I'm excited.
It's very going to be very so well, excited. Hopefully it's going to be very cool.
Yeah.
Wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's supposed to be 9 episodes being released, and for those that don't remember, this was a show that ran from 1990 to 91, and it also, after that in 92, a film was released, Fire Walk With Me. Mm-hmm. So it was on ABC, wasn't it?
ABC was the network, yep.
Yeah, ABC.
Right.
Just weird. I can't believe ABC picked up that pilot and ran with it.
I can't believe they got 2 seasons out of it. I mean, I know it was fraught with issues, especially that second season, and like what's his name was ticked a lot and weird stuff like that. But the fact that network TV picked it up at all is crazy. But how important was that show to what we all think is kind of the golden age of cable dramas now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like a lot of this stuff owes its very heritage to something like Twin Peaks because it kind of was the first to be daring and to go outside of the lines when it comes to normal television drama. It's pretty intense.
I think so too. And it makes me wish instead of Showtime, it would have been on AMC.
Yeah.
Like it would fit on AMC, right?
It would fit on AMC, yeah. But I mean, don't you think they can go just a little bit further with it on Showtime than they could with AMC? Well, obviously they can, right? Well,
they can, but do we need them to... I don't know that I need further to be... more boobs and more
not necessarily with the boobs and gore, but I mean, you know, just feeling like David Lynch won't have any restrictions on the story he wants to tell. Even if the same show could have appeared on AMC, just the fact that he knows, well, there's nothing that's going to say, oh, you're going too far on this.
Yeah, right. I guess so. I feel like AMC has earned the position of letting people do what they want, or even FX or somebody.
Yeah,
right. The reason I would like to see that is because I don't think you actually get that much more freedom out of Showtime, but you also are automatically limiting who can see it.
Exactly.
More so, people have basic
that
cable.
Is the drawback, for sure.
Do you know if Showtime has like an HBO Go?
No, they do not.
There's a Show Anywhere, I think is what it's called.
Oh, they have an app like that?
Yes. I have Showtime. Showtime Anytime is the app.
Showtime Anytime.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Showtime Anytime.
Well, that makes it a little better, but it's still same problem. You got to subscribe to it.
You still have to have a valid like Comcast subscription or whatever it is.
But doesn't iTunes, I want to say iTunes has a deal with them where they'll put them up next day or something. Do I have that wrong?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I have to look that up.
Yeah, Showtime Anytime app. Yeah.
I figure I have until 2016 to figure this out because I will be watching the show. But in the meantime, our theme for the day is going to be weird-ass TV shows.
All right.
Nice. All right.
Twin Peaks, of course, is streaming right now on Netflix. You can watch the first 2 seasons. So you can watch
only 2 seasons.
Yeah, first 2 seasons. Well, there's going to be a third now.
Okay, until 2016, the only 2 seasons.
So... Are you of mindset that David Lynch is a very polarizing type of director? Like, I just love that weird. But if you talk to Patrick, our good friend Patrick Beja, he hates David Lynch.
No, you either like it or you hate it. I think Patrick's just falling on one side of the already very polarizing space that is David Lynch in his films or his work.
I just love, I mean, I've enjoyed almost every single movie. Now, Eraserhead, I didn't really enjoy that too much. But Mulholland Drive, Lost Highway, what's the one?
Blue Velvet freaked me out.
Blue Velvet, I don't know if I like Blue Velvet.
I may have respected Blue Velvet, but I don't think I ever want to see Blue Velvet again.
You have to watch
Dennis Hopper and that oxygen tank thing and Isabella Rossellini.
So weird.
Gross.
Yeah.
I think it's like a puzzle to me. And I love logic puzzles. I love piecing things together. And David Lynch's movies, the way that he constructs them, he wants you to watch them again. Mm-hmm. And he wants you to find things that you didn't notice the first time. And I just love that kind of interactive movie experience. Some people don't, but I'm a big fan of that.
What was the one with Laura Dern and Nicolas Cage? Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart.
That's a disturbing one.
They're all disturbing. What are you talking about?
Man. It's just that one just kicks off with a very disturbing image of Nicolas Cage bashing some guy's head on a marble floor that just sets the whole scene for the whole film.
Well,
do you have a favorite one? Do you have a favorite Lynch film?
That would probably be it.
That'd be the one.
As creepy, as disturbing as it is, I think that is my favorite one because it does have such, no pun intended, but such an impact on me, right? Because it is such a... it stays with you, right?
Mine's the old man on the lawnmower one. I know it seems ridiculous. Part of the reason I think I like it is that it's in contrast to everything else he's done, and it's freaking rated G, and it's about a guy who wants to travel across the country on a damn riding mower. But it's what's it called? The straight line? What is it?
The straight story.
The straight story.
I
love that movie on a bunch of levels, but I will admit freely part of it is that it's in contrast to his weird shit. You know, because there is some weird shit to contrast that movie with.
Yeah, very, very weird.
Anyways.
Well, kind of keeping on the David Lynch theme train here. Did you know that he appeared in a number of episodes of Louie in season 3?
I did not know that.
David Lynch did?
David Lynch. So Louie worked with David Lynch on season 3. And Louie is streaming on Netflix. So you can go watch these episodes. And they are wonderful. They are throwbacks to Twin Peaks. So the premise, it's one, two, three episodes of Louie in season 3 called Late Show, part 1, part 2, and part 3. Mm-hmm. So in Louie actually is up for a late night talk show host replacing David Letterman. And David Lynch comes in as basically his trainer. And it's so weird and so awesome. You have to watch. If you don't watch Louie, you should be watching Louie. It's a great, weird, like, I think.
I love Louie.
It's such an interesting show because it's very dark comedy. There's one episode that you might laugh hilariously and be like, oh my gosh, that was so funny. And another one you're like, oh damn, that was depressing, but honest.
Yeah.
So it's a brilliant show. Those three episodes with David Lynch are really great because there's a lot of throwbacks to Twin Peaks and some of his characters, and it's really, really well done. Jerry Seinfeld's in it, so it's really funny. So you should be watching Louie.
By the way, a quick update here: Showtime stuff is on on iTunes for those looking for an alternate to subscribing. However, they don't often, some of the shows they'll put up day after they air, and some shows they wait till a whole season's done and then put them up.
I hate that.
I know. So it looks like they've got it's better than anything they do with HBO. And even Amazon doesn't do day after stuff. It's all like collected old stuff for HBO, but it's a little bit more of a middle ground.
How I watched American Horror Story. It was the day after.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And so FX, you know, they do it on here. Most of the cable networks do. But it's these premium channels where you get a little fruity and Showtime's no different. So anyway, for those who are hoping for that as an alternative, looks like you're going to either have to wait for a whole season or come up with something else.
hey, 2 years is a long time. Things could be changing.
It's a long
sooner
time.
Than you think.
Yep. Yep.
That's
right.
That's all I'm saying.
That's
I'm not true. Jumping to conclusions.
TV might all be free and pumped right into your head by 2016.
Well, there's rumors that HBO is going to disconnect, like have a basically a separate subscription they can do for HBO Go. So if they do it, you know that Showtime will follow suit.
Yeah, I've heard that too, Brian. Mm-hmm.
I think what people want more though than that, because that's just like getting HBO again. I think what they would prefer is that it's available in lots of places. Right away or streaming or after the day after or things like that. I think that's what people really want.
Well, if you can purchase HBO Go, you can watch it the day it's released.
No, I get it's not what I'm saying.
You're saying you want like free streaming or streaming on Netflix next day.
Yeah, I want to be able to buy it on iTunes next day, or I want to buy it on Amazon Prime the next day or whatever. That's what I want.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. I agree with you. But I think that saying to people, hey, guess what? Now you don't have to get an HBO subscription to get it right away. You just have to get an HBO subscription. It's kind of the same thing. You know, I mean, yeah,
well,
you don't have to buy
it. If it's cheaper to get HBO Go than it would be to get it as a premium channel from your cable provider, then, you know, I could see people doing it.
And that's the
They've
part
got to
I
figure out what that price point is.
That's the prediction I'm not necessarily holding with, is that it will be cheaper. I'm not sure about that. I think that they will. Whatever that amount is, let's say your cable bill a month is $80 a month, let's just say. Mm-hmm. And let's say 10 of that is HBO. Mm-hmm. I'll bet a extra outside subscription is like $19.99.
But what would be the benefit if you're getting HBO from your cable provider, you get the stuff on HBO Go for free. You can log in to HBO Go and get it for free.
Right. That's my point.
Okay.
That's exactly my point.
Okay.
Because what I'm saying is they are not going to make you a deal. It's like streaming. It's like video games, digitally downloaded video games. They're not going to drop that price because they're saving all that money on plastic and shipping.
I see. Okay.
They're just going to nail us. That's what's going to happen.
I hope not, but you're positive.
And it might be worth it. I'm not saying it won't be. I just know how this stuff goes. It's not like going to go, and HBO subscriptions are $8 a month. There's no way in hell they do that.
I just think there's a major shakeup. I mean, we're at the beginning of everything kind of shaken up. And I think in the Tadpole, their art engineer said, unless Netflix buys HBO. I mean, these are things that, you know, Amazon could decide, hey, we're doing TV pilot shows. Maybe we should. You just never know.
You don't know. They could do weird things. But I guarantee nobody's buying HBO. They're a very profitable company.
Maybe they'll buy Showtime.
Maybe they'll. Yeah. Now that is reasonable, actually. That kind of makes sense.
Stars.
Yeah. Although NBC, I think, owns Showtime or something. I think. Wait a minute. I may have that wrong. But one of the major networks owns Showtime. And that's not good.
I can just see some shakeup happening. Like, feel like the rumblings are happening. You're getting more video on demand at the same time as release in the theater. This is how people want to watch. They want to watch on their schedule when they want to watch it.
Watch when they want to watch it. Exactly.
For killers, you've influenced me.
Yeah.
So Louie, watch it. It's on Netflix streaming. Three seasons of Louie. I just love that show.
It's great.
It's one of my favorites. Very few shows do I want to watch right when they're released, and this is definitely one of them. So catch up. It's funny.
Yep. It's good.
All right. So. We have Twin Peaks, we have Louie, and then finally, today is the day that American Horror Story Freak Show is released.
Oh, really? It starts tonight?
Tonight.
So wait, this is third season,
This is fourth season.
Fourth season.
But you can watch the first two seasons on Netflix, and you can watch them on Amazon Prime.
So tell me if I've got this wrong. Let me break down the seasons. Season one is all about Dermot Mulroney burning his wiener on the stove.
Murder.
Yes. How did I know that was coming? Yes.
Second one was Crazy Hospital Time.
Asylum.
All right. Third one is a bunch of witchy ladies. All right.
Coven.
And then this new one's about bearded ladies and a guy's got a penis on the back of his head, stuff like that. Right.
I don't know about that last part, but it's called Freak Show.
All right.
Are you prepared to watch my flaccid penis as I walk away?
No. And the answer to that is no.
Can I just say, if you're at all interested in Freak Show, you should be liking them on Facebook and go to their Facebook page, because they've been releasing 5-minute clips of all of the actors involved. So they have the world's tiniest woman, and she's so tiny. She only weighs 11 pounds. I don't know how to.
I love how you said it, though. They've got the world's tiniest woman, and you guys, she is so tiny.
She's so tiny. She's like 23 inches and 11 pounds.
And she's real. This is a real lady.
She's real, yeah. Mm. And after watching, because I was avoiding saying the word cute, because she is cute, but she's a woman. That's the great. I mean, she's a woman.
Full grown woman, just in the sphere of her able.
She's a lady.
I'm trying to be respectful.
No, I get it. Yeah, but it's like the old. Is it set? Remind me. Is this set in an old time?
It's set in the 1950s.
Oh, I'm really in on this. By the way, I'm excited about this season.
It sounds like Carnival, like the whole feel of.
Yes.
Kind of. I don't need
that's my ending to it.
I don't need Apple bobbing Spock anymore like we got in season one. I'm ready for something new.
What?
Remember
Zachary Quinto?
Quinto died in a bucket of whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Burning his wiener on the stove.
All of those actors appear.
Quinto keeps showing up?
Yeah, he was in Asylum.
Oh.
I don't think he was in Coven though, was he? I don't remember him in Coven.
I don't remember him, but he might have had a small part that I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. But that'll do, Pig. Cromwell.
Oh, he's in it? Sweet.
He's in it.
All right.
He was in Asylum as well.
He's the Star Trek. He invented warp drive, you know.
I just love seeing how this show brings in. So like Angela Bassett, they brought her in on Coven. And they obviously liked her because she's now in Freak Show. So they get a taste for how they work, and the cast of characters seems to be growing and growing, and it's always interesting to see who they pull into the show.
Yeah, I just love her. She's awesome. She should have been, you know, she should have been. She should have been Storm. They made a big goof in 2001 when they made Halle Berry Storm.
I like Halle Berry, but yes, Angela Bassett would have made a fantastic Storm. So Jessica Lange, Evan Peters, Sarah Paulson, and Frances Conroy are the only actors to appear in all four seasons. Dennis O'Hare is in three of the four seasons. Kathy Bates, two of the seasons. Emma Roberts, Angela Bassett, Michael Chiklis, two of the seasons.
Michael Chiklis? I guess I should watch the new seasons. I have no idea.
He's going to be in the brand new season. Sorry, this will be his first season.
Oh, okay.
Lily Robb, Tessa Farmiga, two seasons. Zachary Quinto, only in the first two. Dylan McDermott. Oh, he was in Asylum as well.
McDermott
burn
was?
He didn't burn his wiener on the stove. But
that's right. He was at the end.
Oh,
that's
yes. What was he doing at the end?
I can't tell you.
He was standing over a stove with his wiener
you got to watch the season.
All right.
James Cromwell, I guess only in Asylum. I thought he was in Coven as well. Joe Fine.
They said, that'll do, James. That'll do.
That'll do, James. Yeah. Interesting.
All right. Well, there you go. Those are three fine recommendations, and there's a Halloween bent to at least two of them there.
Yeah.
Which I like. Twin Peaks, while not Halloween themed in any way, is weird and scary.
Yeah. Still creepy.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of weird and creepy, I wanted to throw a bonus one out because it's just, it's weird, right. But it's a kid's movie, and it's something that Mateo is just, he loves it. I'm kind of with it. It's weird. It's called The Oogie Loves in the Big Balloon.
Oh, I've heard of this.
The only reason why I'm bringing it up is because I've never heard of Oogie Loves first. They're weird creatures.
Yeah.
Kind of like Teletubbies in a way.
Yeah, because they're suits, right? Big people are in them.
Yeah, big suits. But the actors they got to participate in this movie is really funny to me. And you have Carrie Ewes from is that how you use?
I always thought it was Zoo Ways, or I don't know, who knows. The guy
Princess Bride.
He's the dude.
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Marty.
Jamie Priestley. By the way, Christopher Lloyd doesn't say anything because it's him, Jamie Priestley.
Well, I'm sure glad they got him then, because
I know. Here's what's funny. They're playing a Spanish couple, and they have, so Jamie Priestley has a Spanish accent, and she talks like it is. Well, it's more Italian, I guess. I don't know.
Wait, you're talking about Joy from My Name is Earl?
Yes.
Oh, wow. All right.
So,
oh.
she is speaking for the most part, and Christopher Lloyd is her lover.
What?
So weird.
That's really weird,
it's
dude.
Weird. It's just weird.
I know this is aimed directly at kids, but man, did it review poorly. Like, it,
yeah.
25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Cloris Leachman's oh, wow. in it.
Yeah. I'm a big Cloris Leachman fan.
Yeah. She's so great in Raising Hope.
Yeah. What's wrong with
but
her?
But Mateo loves this, and it's kind of creeping me out, and I just had to mention it because it's like, to me, it's almost as scary as American Horror Story.
Well, kids, I mean, whatever. Kids, there's a certain range of kids. Yours is right in the middle of that where stuff like this just resonates.
Yeah.
And then when they get older, they'll be like, whoa, what the hell was that
what
about?
Was I watching?
Yeah. But there's this little development period where the, you know, stuff like that makes sense. That's okay. Well, all right. Well, there's your bonus. The Oogie Loves and the Big Balloon Adventure 2012.
So weird.
Yeah.
I guess you could watch it if you're high and probably it.
Right.
One of the worst reviewed films of that year, it looks like.
That's crazy. Yeah. Wow.
Well, there you have it. Nicole, always fun, always fun.
You don't want a Quizzler real quick?
Oh, Quizzler. Oh, go. Yeah, Quizzler. I always forget about these, but it's not because I don't like them. It's because I'm just dumb and forget things.
So. I almost forget them, too. Yeah. So.
Oh, well, you know what? I can hear. Here's what I'll say about Quizzlers.
They truly satisfy me.
All right, go ahead.
Oh. Why isn't it not playing? Hello, play, please.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is it not working?
Well, it's not opening iTunes and
you're gonna have to act it out for us.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right.
I will just skip it this
oh,
week.
No Quizzler. Oh.
Suddenly his nostrils quivered.
I know. I have a little narration about what made me think after
that.
All
right. I don't know what's going on, but iTunes is being really stupid right
well,
now.
Well, hook us up next week for another Quizzlers episode. You can find her on Twitter at Nicole Spag. The great shows like Ladies of Leet, Nerd Parents. Hey, when's our episode going up?
I'm
soon?
Releasing it.
Lost it. Ran away.
Oh, sorry. That was the Quizzler.
Oh. Well, you can play it now if you want.
Yeah. Our episode will be released today.
Oh, sweet.
And here's your Quizzler. Right. Okay.
Kelly lost it, ran away. They found her in a flea bag motel someplace, coked out of her gourd. Meanwhile, you, Sam, are voted Educator of the Year. Some crap. They put the two of you in front of a jury. They're going to look stupid. They know it. Why do you think they haven't taken your statement yet?
Okay.
Is that My Cousin Vinny?
Nope.
I'm going to say that's John Cusack.
Nope.
No?
No. Yeah, there was I can hear what you were thinking about John Cusack. There was a point where his voice.
It's a hard changed. One. This is one that Iceworm did. So this is in. He categorized them easy, medium, hard. And this is from the hard category. So gotcha. I'm curious if people get it.
Yeah. By the way, there's a conspiracy going around that Iceworm does everything for everyone. There's just a little conspiracy.
Where would people get that?
I don't know how they get that idea. So I have no idea then. That's completely weird.
Do you want to play it one more time for you?
Yeah, let's try it one more time.
Sure, yeah.
Kelly lost it, ran away. They found her in a flea bag motel someplace, coked out of her gourd. Meanwhile, you, Sam, are voted Educator of the Year. Some crap. They put the two of you in front of a jury. They're going to look stupid. They know it. Why do you think they haven't taken your statement yet?
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Is that To Die For?
Mm-mm.
I give up. I don't know.
Wild Things.
Oh, Wild Things.
Oh, really?
Wait, who's the actor there?
I can't tell who. It's whoever's
Matt Dillon. Dillon.
Yeah, it's not Matt Dillon. No way that's Matt Dillon.
No, because he's the teacher.
Kevin Bacon.
Or the Party for Five.
Oh, that's right. He's getting talked to by... Matt Dillon would have been the guy that was getting talked to there, huh?
I have no idea. I just remember that movie being super dumb.
Yes. I blame Iceworm.
Yes, blame him for that.
Bill Murray? Was Bill Murray in? Was Bill Murray the lawyer in Wild Things?
No. In Wild
That's
Things.
That's what Irony Man is saying.
He's being ironic or something. It can't be him.
Can't trust.
Oh wait a minute! Iceworm is saying it's Bill Murray.
It's
really?
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. We're moving.
play just a little smidge of that.
Just a tiny taste.
I don't hear him.
Kelly lost it, ran away.
Oh, I totally hear it now.
In a motel someplace, coked out of her gourd.
Yeah, ooh. It's weird, though. That still sounds weird for him.
Coked out of her gourd.
All right. What's he doing?
That definitely is him. Now that you know and you're listening for it.
Bill Murray.
This is before Lost in Translation and things made him way better than he was then. Because
totally forgot he was in that movie.
Yeah, because that movie sucks. That's why you forget.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Nicole, it's always fun. Have fun for the rest of your week. And may we do this again next Wednesday is my hope. Bye now.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Well, that's cute when she waved and then I hailed the call. Her icon or her avatar is a picture of her as a little girl waving also.
Aw. Totally cute. Sure enough. Yeah.
And it just it transposed over the top of it. That was really weird.
That's adorable. Wow.
All right, we're gonna add Tom to this call because he's patient. He's a patient man. Patient man with a plan. And we're gonna do a little doohickey here, which is this right here, right here. Whoops, where is it? I can't find it.
Right there.
There it is.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man, the very patient man, is Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Well, hello. Nice episode of Corn Killers you guys just did.
I know, right? Really, really in support here.
Do you feel like we kind of stepped on your cape there a little bit?
No, I was just sitting here in, to myself going, GBS, GBS on Showtime.
Yeah.
The thing about HBO is that because they have the advertising, I was participating. You just couldn't hear me.
So I want to know what you, just as real quick, because I don't want to make this the extended topic that you may or may not have wanted to talk about today, but the idea, just the very notion of HBO opening up like that is probably sensible in some way because it seems like that's the way things are going, but there's no way they make it a super awesome, like, discounted deal for anybody.
Well, I think we always want to think about it from the consumer side, obviously, because we're consumers, right? And we want it to just be like, hey, give me the thing I want for the price that seems reasonable. HBO is coming at it from an entirely different, much more complicated set of calculations, which is we want to deliver this service at the cheapest amount of price for the most amount of money. Mm-hmm. And I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know by saying all this stuff. But the point of it is, HBO's calculation right now is we get subsidized essentially by the cable companies. They do all of our advertising for us. Mm-hmm. So if we have to go it alone and give you a direct stream, which they have no problem with, they already do it in Scandinavia. And they've even made statements of like, yeah, in the next few years, we're probably gonna do that. Like, they've been softening up in public on their rhetoric against it. A couple of years ago, they're like, yeah, it's just not something we can do. Now it's like, well, it's something we'd like to do. The reason they haven't done it, and the reason that they're taking these baby steps, is they have to do it in a way that doesn't suddenly shoot up their costs of marketing.
Yeah.
Because what people forget, and people who've listened to Corn Killers know this because I say it all the time, HBO doesn't spend a lick of money on marketing themselves. All those ads you see on television for HBO are the majority of them subsidized by the cable company. The cable company runs them as part of the deal. HBO says, we're going to sell HBO for $20 a month for the package. You get a cut of that. And in exchange for that cut, you're going to run ads in your unsold avails, right?
Right.
So they have a cable company set aside a certain amount of space on every channel they carry to advertise themselves or sell advertisements that they make money off of. And HBO gets that. So HBO's like, well, if we start having this product out here that we sell directly to people, the cable companies are going to go, well, we're not agreeing to run your ads anymore then. Like, you're competing with us. You're directly against us instead of with us. And so that's what they're trying to negotiate. When it comes to the price of what that service is going to be, I think you're right, Scott, that it's going to be very high at the beginning because it's the only way that the cable companies are going to be comfortable with it. I think Time Warner, which is the company that owns HBO, has gotten to the point where they've got the cable companies used to the idea of this is going to have to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the negotiation, I'm guessing, this is all guessing right now, is great. Well, how can we make it happen in a way that is the least detrimental to the cable companies? And the cable companies want to be TV everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So HBO Go is a huge asset for them right now. If you can go buy it for $8 a month, it's no longer an asset for them. Because a bunch of people are like, well, that's all I really wanted anyway. Goodbye, cable company. So that it has to be priced in a way that only people who wouldn't have paid for cable would get it. And people who do buy it say, well, actually, that's not much more expensive to just go ahead and get cable. And then I get HBO Go, which is why you're seeing AT&T, Time Warner Cable, Comcast all come out with packages that are like $30, $40 a month for basic cable plus HBO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right, though. This is all not half steps, but this is all middleware for a while, because this is just the way it is. It's like I always bring this comparison back to digital purchases and video games as a comparison, because they had some of the same challenges. It's like, well, we can't just tell Walmart to screw off. We're going to have everyone download everything at a discount and not ever have to go into your store again.
Right.
So they keep the price the same, in some cases ridiculously the same. $60 for a non-physical product is a lot of money to pay versus getting a box and a disc and a manual and everything else you're used to getting. And
yeah.
And there are other factors involved there, but it's the same idea. You've got to protect what your current business model is and still acknowledge that perhaps new markets are opening or changing, and make these little baby steps. So if that thing happens, and it probably will, HBO will do it at a premium. I'm sure of it. And there will be a bunch of us willing. Yeah.
Well, look next year at what Dish, Sony, and Verizon do with their online television services. Mm-hmm. Those are all likely to launch next year.
Yeah.
And Dish would be the most interesting one, because Dish is already a regular satellite cable provider, right? Yeah. Not a cable, satellite provider.
Right, right.
And what they do with HBO, I think, will be indicative of where HBO's head is at as far as their future strategy. If you can sign up with Dish and it's like, hey, our basic package is $20, but we'll add HBO and HBO Go for $25, then I think that's what you end up seeing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is HBO not ever going entirely solo, but tagging along with these companies that are going to provide essentially pass services for us. You'll get linear programming, live programming, but also the ability to log into all of these services like Showtime Anytime and HBO Go, et cetera.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I you know, whatever. I'm all in for these baby steps, because I know they have to happen. It's nice to see them happening. So
yeah, fun. You know. They're cute. They're babies.
They're adorable, right? They waddle toward you saying, look, we've got adorable Game of Thrones.
Little business models.
Winter is coming.
Oh, he looks just like his father, broadcast television.
Oh, that's adorable. They have the same eye prices. That's adorable.
You can see it right in their prices.
Yeah, that's adorable. So, Tom, probably not the topic you had, but it's Tech Day for you, and every day is, because you do a daily tech news show. The daily's right there in the name, and I think I'm on that show tomorrow, which I'm very much looking forward
to. You are. In fact, I just sent you an email reminding you.
Oh, so good. Yeah,
consider yourself reminded.
I am planning on it. I always enjoy it, and looking very much forward to that. But today, what are you culling of interest for the show?
Yeah, it's an interesting day. There's not one of the big stories. This tends to happen in the wake of large announcements. And we had, you know, a big announcement from Microsoft, big announcement from Apple, and everybody's sort of recollecting their announcement fodder for technology that way. But one interesting thing happened earlier this week was the split of HP. Mm. Hewlett-Packard announced that they're splitting between HP Inc., yeah, which will be the company that sells the ink. That's how you can remember it. And also the printers and the computers and the laptops. And Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, which will be their business services, you know, their data, their cloud storage, their data analytics, big data, all that kind of stuff, their servers. Mm. And we heard about eBay and PayPal splitting up last week. Today, Symantec, apparently, according to Bloomberg, is considering splitting up. They have a storage company that they bought a few years ago called Volantis. Am I good? I forget. I should have written this down.
Pretty close. It's the lost company of Volantis. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought that was a myth.
Yeah, I know. Volantis. Turns out it's real.
Well, no, it's true. And Symantec wants to get rid of them and sink them under a sea of red tape.
Ah, lovely. Actually, it's interesting. No, you're naming companies that I didn't know. I don't know what any of these people have been doing for the last 5 years.
You know Symantec, right?
Oh, sure. But when did Norton Antivirus, you know, like, I guess what I'm getting at is these were big names in the 90s, HP as well, where they were just dominant in so many ways, in so many places, in so many parts of the technology world. And I just feel like the last 5 or 6 years, neither of those two names hold much of any kind of talk or sway. I know they're big companies still, they have to be, but what are they doing? Like, what are they doing in a significant way that isn't, I guess it's all enterprise now, maybe. Maybe that's why I don't hear about it.
Well, and that's interesting. Veritas is the name, by the way. I finally found it.
There you go.
In Symantec, Veritas, until they spin it off as a separate company.
Right. Symantec.
I think what you're reacting to is that companies that had a great business model in the late 90s and early 2000s are realizing, wait a minute, I think it's time to diversify. And this, I don't know enough about business cycles to say for sure, but it seems like this is a typical process, right? You have businesses all conglomerate to try to get these efficiencies, and they pull little parts out of each other and make themselves better, and then they diversify, yeah, and they throw them out.
Yeah.
It is interesting to see Facebook is acquiring right now. They're buying things. They're buying Oculus. They're buying WhatsApp. They are in the acquisition mode, and mm-hmm. Amazon's doing the same thing.
Sure.
You see these older companies realizing, wait, the conglomeration of businesses that we have now isn't suitable for the current climate anymore. You know, having a storage and a security company together made perfect sense 5 years ago.
Sure.
It doesn't make sense anymore. Let's diversify. And this is all for the shareholders, right? They say, well, we can't just close down a business. Let's split up so that the stockholders get value and whatever's left. And then somebody else will come along and buy one or both of those companies and make new combinations that do make sense.
Yeah. But I mean, what is it? So if you had to just say to me, what is HP's bread and butter right now? What is the thing they do the most that makes them millions of dollars? What is
Allison
that?
Sheridan and I had a great conversation about this on Monday, because what makes them the money right now is the part that's going into HP Inc. Mm. That's the selling printers, mostly selling printer ink. Mm. That's where they make a huge amount of money. Yeah. And selling laptops and desktops makes them money. But it's a declining market, especially the desktop market. Yeah. And the laptop market is shaky. Its prospects aren't as great as it used to be. What isn't making them the huge margins yet, because they just aren't as good at it as they should be, is the enterprise services. Some of the enterprise services that they do,
right.
they're getting you know, lots of competition from the IBMs and Ciscos of the world. They do make a decent amount of money on their servers and their server integration. But Allison was pointing out one of the things that they used to be able to do as a combined company was say, we can outfit your entire enterprise with desktops and printers and servers and an enterprise solution, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
So what they're banking on is the growth market, the potential is that enterprise service market and being able to do cloud storage, et cetera. And that's what IBM's been betting on as well.
Sure.
And that the desktops and laptops, that's not a growth market anymore, but it's not dead. It's not worthless. So let's split that off, and then maybe somebody acquires that. It also gives them a little more flexibility to buy stuff. They've been trying to buy EMC, which is the company that owns VMware, I think.
Sure.
And they haven't been able to do it. They haven't been able to agree. Part of it, I think, was that they didn't have the flexibility to do it, given some of the competing things that they do with the desktops and laptop personal systems, et cetera. So now that they're separate, maybe you'll see them start to acquire more companies because they can make a better offer now.
Sure. Well, it's just so interesting to me because I was starting to feel like HP, who, by the way, do you guys remember when you could go to Costco and buy an HP iPod? Do you remember that? For a little while there? Wasn't that weird?
That was a interesting move. You wouldn't see Apple make that move anymore. We're not even sure they're letting the Beats name stick around. Yeah. And yet
That's funny. I remember the clone computers. I remember the power computing clones, but I don't remember the HP iPod.
Yeah.
I remember that HP iPod because we covered it. I think I was at CNET. I might have still been at Tech TV, mm-hmm. but we covered it with that angle of like clones were the thing that almost killed Apple, and that Steve Jobs like immediately was like, we're never doing that.
Put the
that.
Kibosh on, right?
Right? Yeah. And yet, then he led an HP-branded iPod. It wasn't a clone. It was made by Apple.
Yeah.
He led an HP-branded iPod out there.
Yeah, it had an HP. I remember seeing one at a Costco. They had an HP logo on the back, and it was the same model as the iPod 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. Just the iPod. It was no mm-hmm. different than that U2 iPod that was...
That's right, the black and red one.
Yeah. So I guess it wasn't a clone thing. It was just HP gets to sell these... But we still made them and sold them to HP at whatever. Yeah, that's a weird thing.
I do remember those. Yeah.
But I remember when I just remember feeling, or I lately have been feeling like every time I hear somebody say something about HP, I'm like, is that like Gateway or Compaq where nobody cares anymore? Or is there a bigger deal happening? And obviously there is. They're a huge company.
It's all that doghouse money that's affecting your opinion.
I guess so. But like Gateway, I just went to gateway.com for the heck of it. And they're still kicking it, making Gateway computers, and they don't not exist anymore. Like, I don't know what Compaq's doing. I think they got absorbed by HP, in fact. But
Yeah, they did. Compaq, HP bought Compaq, and they sold some HP Compaq's dual name for a while, but then they just retired that brand.
It's just, to me, it's just such a different climate now with different players. And in some ways, I'm very nostalgic for the late 90s, early 2000s for the companies that were kind of at the top of their game then. And I don't know, hearing about HP and just hearing about them having to split stuff off. I know it's not necessarily a negative, certainly not for shareholders. It could be a very good thing, but
it's not even the first time they've done it. Mm-hmm. HP and Agilent split off about 15 years ago, roughly. Agilent is actually what HP was founded to do, which is measurement technology. Mm. The first product from HP was an oscilloscope back in the 40s.
Oh, wow.
And so in 15 years ago, they said, look, computers and PCs, that's where it's at. That's the growth market. And they were right. And they're like, this measurement tool thing, it's stable, but it's not growth. Let's spin it out. And they did. Yeah. And Agilent has survived, and it's stable. It's worth about what it was worth when they spun it out. So yeah, it was a smart move.
Yeah. My last CAT scan that I got, because I went in for that stupid thing last January, it was an HP, big old HP CAT scanner thing with a big fat HP logo on it. And I thought, yeah, man,
you know, they sell those things real cheap, but you have to pay a lot for the CATs.
And I remember the time thinking, I wonder how much the ink cartridges cost to replace in this thing, you know, like I was making all these dumb jokes in my head, but sure enough, HP's still got their hand in a lot of medical device
tomography stuff. Cartons that they stick in.
Yeah. Them. I'm just always surprised by where certain companies have poked their head in and where they haven't. And I don't know. And living in this Google, you know, Apple freaking gateway or not gateway, Facebook world we live in now. It's just those players just hold so much less sway, or it starts to feel like such an artifact. You know, it's like playing Quake again or something. And it's just weird to think about these things. But as always, entertaining, fun stuff to discuss with Tom, because he comes in here and does that with us, and we just feel smarter when we're done. Tom, anything else we should mention before we cut you?
Yeah, we should mention VMware is not owned by EMC, but you called me smart. I'm dumb this morning. I can't remember Veritas or anything.
Oh my gosh, you've ruined the whole thing.
Even on a dumb day, you're smarter than me on my smartest day.
Thanks.
Oh, that's sweet. So you've got a lot going on, a lot of things happening. I'm excited about your new Sword and Laser Patreon. That's awesome.
Yeah. Patreon.com/Sword and Laser. We are funding the show now directly from the fanses. Mm. So thank you to everybody who's agreed to help us out there. And we're already doing better than we were taking advertising.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah. I'm always happy to see these new ways of, I mean, it's helping us. It's helping everybody. I feel like we're on the verge of, and who knows if it's Patreon down the road that they're the guys for sure that are, you know, that they're the end all be all for being able to fund projects and things like this. But I still feel like it's the future in some way or another. It's directly connecting with our listeners and patrons and letting them give us money for what we do. So yeah, that's a good thing.
Chat room is busily pointing out that VMware is owned by EMC. And then Eskimo Pie says they bought the VMware software and then Oracle bought the rest. So that's what was confusing.
Well, now I want an Eskimo Pie. So now we've come full circle, really.
Eskimo Pie is right there in the chat room. I think there's an IRC command for eating one.
Brilliant.
Possibly. / eat Eskimo pie.
Yeah, replace the old trout, slappy with a trout thing or whatever.
I'm sorry. I got distracted by figuring out.
That's what the chat room does. That's their job here.
Sword and Laser Patreon. I love this model and super happy about that. Also, next week is New York week on Daily Tech News Show.
Oh, good gosh.
Because Eileen is out there working for YouTube for a month, doing some stuff for the new YouTube space in New York. And so I'm going to go and spend a week hanging out. And some old friends, Ayaz Akhtar, Mary Jo Foley, Dan Patterson, Andrew Zarian, a few other folks are all going to stop by. And we're going to chat New York style, which means for me later in the day.
Yeah, from the West Coast to the Best Coast, as they say.
I don't know.
I have no loyalties.
The Best Coast is the Mississippi Coast.
Ooh, I'd tell my wife that and maybe she'll go back one day. I don't know. Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. Daily Ace Tech Detect News Show later today. I'll be on there tomorrow. Can't wait. Thanks, Tom. We'll talk to you later.
See you, Tom.
Bye. Wearing that St. Louis hat. Always representing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just had a thought, but I'll have to tell you off air my idea.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Actually, you know what I'll do right now?
You're going to put it in Skype?
Yeah, I'm going to send you a... I don't want to do it in here, though. Well, just hold on to your butts. Here you go. I'll say it right here. I'll say,
text me.
Hey, wait. Is today your birthday?
You asking me?
No, that's... Your birthday's in August.
Yeah, my birthday's in August.
Why does the... Skype just told me it's today.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah,
I don't know where Skype would
get that. Skype? Okay, anyway,
Skype's
here it is.
Skype's a big fat liar.
Okay, read this. Okay, you ready?
This is some great, great radio.
There you go, I know. It's some good radio. All right. We're like all these people doing that, man.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do fast emails because we're going long today. Emails brought to you by.
Do you like playing games?
Yeah.
Sure
yes.
you do.
Yeah.
Do you like talking about those games?
Yes.
Who doesn't?
Nobody.
Do you like Google Hangouts?
No.
Oh, well, maybe not. But nevertheless, those things combine to bring you The Game Club. Club, club. Our first episode will be over the new Super Smash Bros. I know you hate that word.
I hate it.
Super Smash Brothers for 3DS. Tune in Friday, October 17th to catch it live on Google Hangouts On Air. And you too, dear listener, can join in the conversation. That's The Game Club. Find us on Reddit at /r/TheGameClub.
I don't like bros and I don't like verse.
Verse, yes.
He man,
I'm gonna do Mario versus Link.
Ugh, it makes me sick. Quick emails here from Dave, who wrote in, says you made a comment about Ebola a couple of days ago, and it's bothered me because it goes towards some of the hysteria surrounding it. It's not easy to catch. It's not airborne or animal/insect transmitted. You need to make contact with infected bodily fluids in order to become infected. I've attached a Newsweek link. Blah blah blah. Right on, Dave. You're right. You're totally right. I did not want to make it seem like it's, because it isn't. I'm with you, dude. Hysteria needs to go down on this thing. You can't get it from breathing on it, dude. You'd have to like mix blood or something or other fluids, Brian, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're getting at.
Bruce wrote in, says it's the one thing I learned from Tony Bennett's mild lyric mishap at that game. Was it apparently God Bless America has replaced Take Me Out to the Ball Game as the tune sung in the seventh inning stretch since 9/11. Call me an anti-patriotic, but I think it is an unfortunate trend. It seems to me that we already begin every game with the national anthem, and we do not need another emotional song praising America's greatness. Take Me Out to the Ball Game was a simple sing-along song that praised the game of baseball. God Bless America has come to stand for blind patriotism and helps remind people of a 14-year-old tragedy. Maybe I'm being oversensitive, Bruce. Bruce, I completely agree with you, dude.
I do, too.
I don't like the switch. I never liked it.
I love Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch, and... it's funny because the Rockies games recently I could have sworn I've heard Take Me Out to the Ball Game. So maybe it's just on big televised games or different cities.
Yeah. It's the ultimate road to Aberdeen. Nobody wants to say anything, but nobody thinks we should keep doing this. So we're with you, Bruce. You're not oversensitive. You're right. Mark S. wrote in, said, hey, Scott, because you know, the old phrase used to be, well, then the terrorists win. You know, that whole phrase. Well, to me, this is a sign of that. That's one of those things. You made us change our national pastime. Don't let them do that to us. Take it back and make it what the hell you want it to be.
Right.
All right. Scott, says Mark S. I was sitting in my office listening to the latest episode, and within 3 minutes, you said the word cereal, which suddenly triggered my plugged-in iPod to launch Siri. She promptly found local restaurants offering cereal on their menu. just thought you'd be impressed with the reach of your voice, he says. Yeah. Yeah, and you do have to have those plugged in, right, for that to work? I guess you do.
They have to be, right?
She says, also, have you looked up how to pronounce the word kernel on YouTube? This must be from that weird YouTube channel. Hold on.
Oh, right, the pronunciation guy. Well, in the meantime, while you're looking that up,
yeah.
Hey, Siri, play Shuffle. I'm just doing that for all the people who've got their
People hear it. Oh, it'll work now.
Yeah.
And what happens when they play Shuffle?
It plays a random song from their library.
Oh, well, that's how it should be. Here
it's
you go.
It's kind of Canolio, a fun thing.
Canolio.
Oh, this is awesome. This is Colonel. You ready? Here you go.
Yeah.
Canolio, Nanolio.
Canolio, Nanolio.
Nanolio.
It is the greatest YouTube channel ever created.
It's the easiest thing. I mean, it probably takes them like a minute to put one of those together and upload it. But it's so well
done. At the most. Yeah. It makes me mad. Should have thought of it. All right. That's your emails. You can send those in to us at themorningstream@gmail.com. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. Please follow us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, Morning Stream. You can also Patreon us as well at patreon.com/TMS. Where we do it monthly, not per episode. This per episode stuff may have been a good idea in hindsight, but gosh dang it. Look at the deal we're giving you people. a month of content for hardly any money at all.
That's right. So what you should do is adjust your Patreon.
Yep.
For the number of shows, pretend that we do a daily Patreon, or I'm sorry, a per show Patreon, and adjust your levels accordingly.
Yeah, come on now. that's it. Oh, Coverville today. You got one?
Oh, yeah, there will be a Coverville today. And birthdays today should be an interesting one. Christy McCall, who passed away several years ago, but everybody knows her as the female voice that is in the Christmas Pogues song.
Yeah.
She also did a great song in the 90s called Walking Down Madison. She was the original artist of that Tracy Ullman, They Don't Know About Us song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
So a tribute to her, as well as Daryl Hall, who is turning 65 this week. So you probably can expect some Hall & Oates covers on today's Coverville.
I'm in. I'm all in.
You know, also, I'm trying to figure out my whole chapter issue because my chapters haven't shown up in the last 10-15 episodes, and I don't know why. If you download into iTunes, they show up fine, but on iOS devices, since iOS 8, they don't. And but they do for Maccast, so I know it's something up with my show or my server. Oh, so you have to figure that out.
That's weird.
Yeah. So sorry. Go ahead. You were saying.
I never trusted those damn things anyway. The chapter crap. I just feel like they're it's cool. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
it's just
such an
Apple specific thing.
Well, it is, yeah.
You know,
I mean, it really wasn't. I mean, it was AAC was not an Apple codec. It wasn't an Apple format, but
they championed it.
It does allow. They did. They really did.
Yeah.
And it allows people, if they don't like the current song playing in Coverville, boom, they can go right to the next one. It's such a great thing.
Yeah, it's a cool service that you provide, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm with you 150%. Hey, Skojo, Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a new TV series coming up soon. We don't know what that is yet. It's based on a novel from
1913. By the way, and Kev also corrects us. Kev, who loved the Garth Brooks song that I played on Monday, all you people, and he was the one who requested it, and he's totally fine with my song choice, people on Twitter.
All right, relax.
Says that God Bless America is generally only done on Sundays during the regular season. The rest of the games are Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Still dumb.
Yes.
Why do
agreed.
That? I understand they're trying to find, maybe that's middle ground, but come on, let's just get back to what pre 9/11. Okay. Can we do that? Cause it was our game in the first place, not theirs. All right.
Exactly. All right. Exactly.
Brian. Well, you know, they promised him a bunch of virgins in heaven and that all games will have God Bless America at the end of them. That was the promise to the terrorists.
Now we know. Yeah. Now it's been revealed.
Let's get out of here with some music from you. Will you offer it up now?
I would be happy to. This one goes out to Katie, a.k.a. Turtle. My husband, Gary, a.k.a. Garmachi in the Tadpool, should be climbing Mount Katahdin or Katahdin in Maine on Wednesday, October 8th. This is significant for two reasons. Number one, October 8th is his 45th birthday. And two, Mount Katahdin is at the northern end of the Appalachian Trail. He started hiking at the southern end 5 months and 2,185 miles ago. Remember we talked about this, like he was doing that website where you could follow his travels.
Same guy. That's awesome. All right.
Same guy. And today is the summit, basically. I'm so proud of him. Some people just talk about their dreams. He made his happen. Can you please play a song worthy of the occasion? Well, yes, I can. And I found out that Katie likes 80s music, and she wants something kind of motivating, something positive, something mountain related, and found just the thing. Erasure, great 80s group, on their Innocence album, on the CD version of their Innocence album, they included this great cover of Ike and Tina Turner's River Deep, Mountain High. Very uplifting and positive and exciting song. This is great. This is Erasure and River Deep, Mountain High.
Sounds good to me. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll be here tomorrow with Therapy Thursday with Wendy.
We'll be tomorrow.
Yep. And we'll find out about the whole therapy therapist confidentiality question. And there'll be a PM edition of the show as well. That's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody. Go kill some orcs in Mordor. We'll talk to you then.
When I was a little girl, I had a rag doll.
Luigi,